Hello and welcome to Widnes Rugby Chat episode 21 of 2024. It's another off-season one with myself, James Gordon, and Mike Parsons. And as promised in the recent episode on the IMG rating, which featured the interview with Stuart Murphy, which is still available to download if you want to listen to, we are going to have a look through the Widnes squad as we know it for 2025 so far. And Mike, the signings have been fairly steady over the past few weeks. At the time we're recording this, there's the current squad size is 26, which is made up of 8 new signings and 18 players that have been retained from last season, albeit 2 of the new signings did feature for Widnes on loan last season. Generally, what are your thoughts on how things are coming together?
Yeah, I think they've been coming thick and fast, haven't they? I think up until today, we've had one every other day, I think. I think we've had a bit of everything as well, haven't we? We've had some what would be categorised as project signings with a view of them players improving and hopefully becoming first team players in the seasons to come. I think we've had one or two in there as well. I think Lewis Hall in particular, and arguably for some people, Depp Patton, who are, you know, are really established first team players who you can pretty much see being part of your 17, you'd think, before a ball was kicked. And then we've even had an overseas signing, haven't we, via Cornwall. So I think the squad's looking fairly healthy from my point of view. I still like to maybe add a centre and maybe another established forward into the mix, but I think other than that, I think it's looking pretty healthy.
Yeah, so I think we talked about at various times last season that you would have no real complaints over retaining probably 95%, if not more, of the squad from last season. Obviously a few players have moved on for one reason or another, but I think you've got a good solid base of players there from last season, the 18 that have retained. And then, as you say, you've got in the 8 that have been announced so far. There's plenty of youth in there and young players, but I suppose to the where Widnes are in the food chain, actually that's probably not the worst thing that could happen. I'll take Mackenzie Buckley, for example, who's been at St. Helens. We saw players who'd previously been at St. Helens and dropped out, ended up at Bradford. I'm thinking of Elliot Poposhian, the halfback whose name escapes me. Ultimately, Widnes want to get themselves into a position where these players who are dropping out of academies and want to stay in the game, that Widnes can pick them up. And so hopefully we'll see some impact from those players, and hopefully they'll follow the path that many other players have followed in terms of, yeah, they might not have made it in Super League at the first time of asking, but they've dropped down to Championship and impressed sufficiently enough to work their way back up. The likes of, well, Chris Atkin, Tyler Dupree, players like that, Dion Cross to a point as well, who have been able to make decent careers despite not necessarily being Super League first or Super League regulars early in the career. So the squad size is 26. I think Alan Coleman said he was aiming for 28, 29. So whether that means that there's still another one or two in the can remains to be seen. It looks like the dual registration partnership with Warrington is perhaps something of the past. I think they're hooking up with Halifax next season.
Yeah.
As a result of Kyle Eastman going in at Halifax, who's obviously good friends with Sam Burgess. So I wonder whether we'll see maybe a couple of loan signings to get to that 28, or whether there's still another couple of permanent signings perhaps.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, out the players that were linked to that have kind of made the media, so to speak, I think. Obviously, Joey Romeo's not been announced yet, so you'd think potentially he could be one of the names that we announce in the coming weeks. And also, if people have picked up League Express and read that, there was a mention of a certain Jack Bussey that they claim that the deal's done at Widnes. Whether that's true remains to be seen. But I think if you was adding Jack Bussey to your pack, I think you'd be very happy. I mean, I know he's had some injury problems of late, but if you can get a fit and healthy Jack Bussey on the pitch, I don't think there's too many better seasoned, battle-hardened championship forwards, is there, than Jack? I think he'd certainly add something to the pack.
I think Bussey's an excellent player. He's the sort of player that you hate when you're playing against him. But if he was on your team, you'd quite like the things he'd do. I'm not 100% sure where that talk has come from. It's a bit left field, in my opinion. He's based in Leeds. He's played pretty much all of his career at Featherstone, albeit he had a couple of spells at London and a spell at Toronto. It would be a surprise to me if he was going to come all over these ways to play for Widnes, given I would imagine there'll be plenty of Yorkshire based teams who would take a punt at him. So I don't know where that's come from. I haven't heard anything relating to it, so I don't know whether it's a damp squib, but we'll wait and see. I think my other scepticism regarding it as well is, of course, Widnes have already got Ryan Lannan, Nick Gregson, Jordan Johnston, even Martin Riley to a point, Max Roberts as well, who's there. Where would Bussey fit? You know, I think, and I'm not saying that I wouldn't sign him, by the way, because I 100% would. If he fancied coming, then I would be signing him. But things don't add up to me in terms of that signing being likely to happen, because I just can't see it. But you know, I may be wrong.
I'll be honest, James, my opinion on it to begin with, I did think along them lines, but then as time's gone on and the more I've thought about it, and obviously being reliant on dual registration, X, Y, and Z, and all the problems that caused us, we was over-reliant at times on it, having people sometimes three or four a game, you know, from other clubs. Maybe it is a case of stocking up on your forwards. Maybe with him, I think he's 32 now, maybe there's a transition where he could maybe potentially play in the front row, or somebody else could play in the front row if he was playing.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a depth thing more than anything, because as we know, when you sat here now and you're looking at a list of 26 players, how often are they all fit? And unfortunately, some players pick up season-long injuries. So before it, we could have played four games, and actually, we've only got, say, 22 fit players.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, like I say, I'd be extremely pleased if Widnes picked up Jack Bussey. I think even with the signings they've already got, I think he'd be a really good pickup, but we'll wait and see. I agree with what you're saying as well. It's a funny one, the dual reg one, because we probably talked about it this time last year, that, you know, you look at teams like Swinton who were using it. You know, Swinton beat Widnes at Widnes when Alan Collin, of course, was the coach of Swinton. And they had four St. Helens lads in the team. I think three of them were from Widnes. And you sat there thinking, well, why can't they be playing for Widnes? Now, obviously, the St. Helens thing is they've got issues with the pitch, so, you know, they're not too keen on sending players our way. That's fine. But I think the reality is that in a one-off game, or in a nice, if you take dual registration in isolation and you look at one-off games or the odd game here or there, it does work, because if you can pull in three or four players and you win that game, it looks like it works. The issue you've got is it's hard to get that consistency. And Widnes found that last season where, because they'd been turning down Warrington in the early parts of the season, when they did need players, they weren't necessarily available for them to get. And so I think being able to have access to dual reg players feels like it would be a more cost-effective solution. I think certainly having your own players is a much better position to be in. Although, of course, the irony of that is that you would imagine then Widnes would need to look the other way. I would expect maybe Rochdale, we maybe have a relationship with Rochdale. If Widnes are carrying 28, 29 players, you're going to want them to get game time somewhere. And so everyone who criticises dual reds one minute will all of a sudden be thinking, oh, well, actually, we'd quite like to dual reds the other way so players can get game time in League One.
Yeah, 100%. And I think halfway through last season just gone, I think we've not long been doing the podcast, and I think I was a massive advocate of running with a bigger squad and trying to be less reliant on dual registration. And a couple of people have questioned a little bit, obviously, particularly Adam Jones and Mackenzie Buckley, and adding, obviously, Brett Bailey and Regan Sumner onto that because of their ages. They're a bit concerned over maybe the experience that we're bringing in. But I think it's all part of, obviously, running with a much thicker, deeper squad. So you can be more choosy in terms of your loans and obviously the dual registration players that you get in. And I'm personally all up for having them players as part of the squad. Not all of them are going to work out. Sending them on loan to begin with, one or two of them might force their way into the first team next year. You can also keep an eye on them and the training with you. But also as well, the players that we've brought in there, probably a year ahead, the dual registration players that we'd probably be looking for out of this season to come are probably not too dissimilar to the players that we've brought in. It's just that St. Helens and Wigan, for example, Adam Jones, Mackenzie Buckley, certainly Mackenzie Buckley, because he's been part of their first team and he's, you know, he spent time at Whitehaven. I think he played in the last game up at the Rec against Halifax last year. He's just a victim of how many players St. Helens have to choose from. So yeah. For me, you might as well have them in your squad anyway and work with them, send them on loan and then give them a chance.
Well, like you say, the profile of those players are very much the sort of profile of player that you get on dual registration anyway. Sumner was here for a bit last season. Obviously, Brett Bailey was as well. So I think you'd rather have them so that they're yours rather than effective, you know, you'd rather have Mackenzie Buckley rather than take a Mackenzie Buckley equivalent who's on loan from St. Helens. And I guess that's the position that Widnes find themselves in. I think if you're going to run with a bigger squad, you also need, with all due respect to them players, you also need those young players who have got to make a name for themselves and have got a point to prove. Because the reality is, you're not going to be able to sign experienced semi-pro players to be squad number 24, 25, 26. It's just a complete unrealistic expectation. I know people want to carry big squads, but ultimately a player worth his salt, a semi-professional player worth his salt, is going to want to be playing. And ultimately, if he sees that you've already got four or five frontline props, he's thinking, well, you know, am I going to get a game ahead of Dan Murray? Well, I'm not going to come here. I'm just going to go and sign for Hunslet or whoever else. And I think that's what I think people have got to be realistic about as well. The players from, say, even from 21, 22 downwards in the squad list, ultimately they're players who probably won't have a lot of first-team experience under the belt. They'll have points to prove. As is the case with, say, a Gavin Bennion, Widnes are offering him a chance to play at a level, you know, with all due respect to Swinton. Yep. He's going to be able to push at a higher level than he has done previously in his career.
Yeah, 100%. Super League clubs aren't too dissimilar. When you go through the numbers, the latter end, there's a couple of in the high 20s, isn't there, that are academy players that have been given first-team opportunities, like Mackenzie Buckley last year. It's all about managing what money you've got to spend, and unfortunately, we'd all love it, wouldn't we, if you could have 26 first-team players, but it's simply not feasible and not the way. And the second best option to have is to give some of these players, young players, hungry players, and in Brett Bailey's case, a lad from the town, you know, the carrot in front of them of going, look, you've got this to work on, that to work on. If if you do that and you go away on loan for a month in League One and do this and that, you'll get your first team opportunity. And then you're in a position then of, do they take it? Do they not take it? And hopefully more of them will than won't. The one actually that stands out for me, Regan Sumner, I don't even think he's a project signing, to be honest with you, James. The two games I seen of him when we first got him announced as a permanent signing, I was quite shocked that he's dropped into the Championship, because the two games we seen him play, Alan was very loyal to Ryan Ince and Mike Butt, and so he should have been, but he played effectively against the two best teams in the division, and he 100% didn't look out of place. He was strong taking the ball in, decent size, decent pace, could finish. And I really think, and I love the two wingers that we've got, as the season goes on, he could definitely dislodge one of them two if they're not on it. I think he's a cracking signing.
I think it's a positive, I think, of the environment that Widnes are creating at the moment, that you've got two players in Sumner and Brett Bailey, and Bailey obviously needs to do a lot of work to get to the level that we hope he can get to. But I think it's a positive that you've had two players who've spent a decent amount of time within the Widnes environment. Not necessarily played a lot of games, because neither of them played, like say, Sumner played twice. I bet Bailey didn't play him any more than two himself either. So they were around the squad and they were around the club without playing games as such, but they've still wanted to come on a permanent basis. They've not been like, oh, we didn't play for half a season. We've been here half a season. We only played a couple of times. I'm not going to bother next season. They've both still wanted to come, and I think that's got to be seen as a positive. So run through the eight new signers then. So Brett Bailey, Gavin Bennion, both props. Cameron Brown, who we'll touch upon in a minute, halfback or a fullback, or, well, we'll see. Mackenzie Buckley is a prop. Lewis Hall is a bit of a utility, probably, you'd say, maybe a standoff loose forward type utility, maybe. Adam Jones is an outside back. Deck Patton is the most familiar of the new signings, I'm sure. Halfback, of course, played a handful of times for Widnes already. While he was at Warrington, and Regan Sumner, who we just talked about, the winger. They're the eight new signings. Very shortly, we'll try and piece together what we think the best... I'll put you on the spot, Mike, but we'll piece together what we think the best 13 is, and we'll look at a bit of a depth chart of the squad. I just want to touch upon, you mentioned Joey Romeo. I've been a little bit out of the loop over the last couple of weeks. Obviously, the birth of my daughter has taken up a little bit of time, so I have to say I haven't really spoke to many people, so I don't know what the situation is with Romeo. I know that he was talked about. I know that there was some interest there, but whether it is something that's still on the cards, I do not know. I think we've talked about Jake Mason a little bit. Clearly, there's a significant off-field issue there with him that may not be resolved. And to be honest, and as I say, I've not spoken to anyone, to be honest, the signing of Cameron Brown strikes me as he is a alternative signing to Jake Mason. That's how I would take that signing.
Yeah, well, two things to that. Number one, like you've just said, 100% I do agree with that. I suppose the only difference is Jake Mason could cover centre, whereas the signing that we've made, Cameron, he can cover the halves. So that's, I suppose, the difference between the two players. But it is that second fullback role, isn't it? Somebody to apply pressure to Jack Owens, somebody who can attack from deep and break a line with pace and, you know, potentially be a link in us scoring points from deeper in our own end, which we struggled to do last season. And then secondly, the things I've heard, I believe we've lost interest with Jake Mason and run out of patience, and that deal's now off. Whether that's 100% the case will remain to be seen, but that's the vibes I've been picking up.
Yeah, I think it's very difficult. It's very much a situation that's out of Widnes's control, and I suppose what from a witness point of view, what you don't want to be doing is you don't want to be sat on your hands waiting for something to materialize with that, and it then take a lengthy amount of time that then means that you miss out on other targets. It's a shame, because I think he would have been, as a player, I think he would have been an excellent addition and an exciting player for the fans to watch, certainly at home on the pitch. I think that sort of track would have suited him down to the ground. But it is what it is, and we all have to move on, and that's what it looks like Widnes have done with the signing of Cameron Brown, who I must admit I haven't seen, so I can't comment a great deal on him as a player. But I know that the theory behind Mason was to try and get a bit more pace in, maybe at fullback, and use sort of execute what we saw Jack Owens do a little bit towards at times last season, where he becomes more of a playmaker in the line. In the centres, I think one of the tries of the month was all Jack Owens' work, and give that versatility where you're almost playing with two fullbacks. It gives Jack Owens a bit of freedom to move around. He's not necessarily pinned back to being at fullback, but it also gives you that benefit of adding some pace at the back. And I think we'll probably see that sort of interchanging happen throughout the season. Right. Let's break down then. I'm just trying to see whether I've written everybody down. Let's try and break down positions. Fullback options. Clearly, Jack Owens is going to be number one. I'd be very surprised if he isn't. And I'd be very surprised if Jack Owens doesn't start most of the games at fullback, to be honest.
I think that's fair. We're certainly going to see him as number one. We're certainly going to see him as captain. He's certainly going to start the season. I think the only caveat to that is how well Cameron Brown impresses if he's given an opportunity in that role. And does he hit the ground running? And does he make a big impact where he can't be replaced? We had a similar situation with Lloyd Robey, didn't we? A lot of people pushing for Lloyd to play fullback, but unfortunately, when everybody, mentions about Jack Owens' ball handling errors, it didn't get any better when Lloyd was in the team. Arguably, that side of things got worse. So I do believe it'll be Jack Owens, and it'll be up to Cameron Brown to push him and dislodge him. It's a massive ask. It's a tough ask, isn't it? So I think you've got to go with Jack Owens, haven't we?
Yeah, and I think a lot will depend on what your player availability is in other areas. We're going to run through this team now. I mean, we've touched upon fullback. Matt Fleming is another potential option. I mean, Joe Edge, to a point, is another potential option at fullback. I know they've both had a couple of decent games there themselves, but very much sort of, I wouldn't say last resort, because that's a little bit unfair on them, but, Owens and Brown would have to both be not playing for Edge or Fleming to get a run at fullback, I would imagine. The wingers we've touched upon, Ryan Ince and Mike Butt, they'll certainly be the first choice, and it'll be up to Regan Sumner and possibly Adam Jones to dislodge them. I don't know a massive amount about Adam Jones either. I know he had a few injury troubles last season, but if he's been at Wigan, he can't be a bad player. So he'll come in. I don't know. It says he's an outside back. Whether he can play centre, I do not know. Because at the moment, on my list, I've only got Edge and Fleming down as centres.
Yeah, I have done a bit of reading up on Adam. And I believe he's played for Lee Miners and Lee East. So I think read into that of what you will. Probably a player.
Probably knows where he lives. I think that's probably what's happened.
Yeah, so obviously a player Allen's probably know. I believe he can play centre, and he spent a bit of time in 2023 on loan at York, ironically with Regan Sumner. Now, I did trek through some comments of fans when they returned, and the announcement was made that they was returning to Wigan. And to be honest, all of them was, quite complimentary of the pair of them. Obviously, we know what Regan's got to offer already. A project. And look, all the best to the lad. Out of the out of him, Mackenzie Buckley, and, you know, Brett Bailey, the project signings that I'd say, I think he's probably the one that's got the most to do simply because of his injury last year, and it seemed to be a bad one. So all the best to the lad, and let's hope he can get a fair crack at it.
Where do you think Lewis Hall is going to be stationed?
Loose forward. So I think it'll be a battle between him and Nick Gregson, and I'll be honest, James, for me, Lewis Hall would be my 13 from what I've seen of him play against us and games I've seen him play for Swinton when witness haven't been playing personally.
Yeah, it's interesting because he probably adds... The thing is with Hall is one of his strengths was his kicking game, or his long kicking game, but that perhaps isn't as big of an issue for Widnes now they've signed Depp Patton. So it might be, it depends on who else is in the team as to whether Lewis Hall plays. But it looks, we think maybe a bit thin in the centres, but I think you would probably have to say that that's largely down to the fact that you've got a few options at fullback. You know, like I say, I wouldn't be surprised if we see Brown and Owens in the team and probably Jack Owens plays in the centres in defence maybe. And then it is a bit more fluid in an attacking sense. But we'll wait and see. Halfback-wise...
bit of a choice, isn't there?
Yeah, plenty of options here. So Gilmore and Patton will almost certainly be the first choice. I mean, Joe Lyons, to be fair, he, under Tim Sheens, had a bit of a run at fullback as well. So he gives you that versatility option. Hall could potentially play standoff, and then, you know, of course, Cameron Brown as well. So, yeah, there's plenty of options in there. I don't know which of those players would do that. I wonder whether it might point to even Jordan Johnston playing loose forward a bit more regularly than we saw last season, and then having one of those spare halfbacks on the bench to deputise for, say, Matty Fozard or for one of the halfbacks. I mean, I like Jordan Johnston as a player. I like him as a hooker, but maybe you lose a little bit of his effectiveness if he's never playing at hooker, but that's potentially something that might be on the horizon. I don't know.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, the thing with Deck Patton coming into the mix is he's probably the one, like, if you got an injury to Jordan or Matty, he can probably do 20 due to he's a bit more stockier than the other halfbacks. To slot in at 9 for 10-15 minutes to give one of the others a rest and obviously utilise that bench spot in that way, carrying an extra halfback. For me personally, I have a bit of a different spin on it, James, with Patton and Lyons, and it is this. And look, I was probably the biggest advocate of us signing Depp Patton than some other people when it was first come to people's attention, simply because of his long kicking game. He's got a great kicking game. I think he's 29 now, and look, if it doesn't work here, you'd have to say his career's probably bypassed him a little bit for somebody who had so much potential. I couldn't believe he was 29. But for me, I think Alan will stay loyal and give Joe Lyons the number 6 jersey, and it'll be up to Deck to take it off his back. And the reason why I say that is that there was such a big thing made last season, the start of last year, when Alan come in about signing another halfback. And what Alan repeatedly said was, look, if I was Swinton's coach, I'd desperately want Joe Lyons, give him a 2-year deal. And the talk was, he was kind of, in terms, he was always the bridesmaid, wasn't he? He was never the bride. There was always, you know, Danny Craven, Matty Smith, Tom Gilmore ahead of him. And it was almost as if when they was fit, his place was lost. And with that, it affects confidence and he can't get consistency to his game. Now, I think last year he did a sterling job. He really linked well with Tom, and the spine of the team ticked away really well, and obviously getting us into the playoffs, and his defence was brilliant. You could see a bit more confidence in his running game, that side of things as well, and being a bit more positive and more of a directing traffic a bit more, you could see him grow. And I just think for me, I don't think Alan, having done all that work, will just go, here you go, Deck, and give him the sixth jersey. I just don't see that personally. Now, halfway through the season, we might get to a world where Deck's come in and had a couple of games, or he's been playing as well and he's outplayed Joe and he gets that jersey starting position next to Tom Gilmore. That might be the case, but I think to begin with, I think Joe will get his opportunity.
I disagree. Just because I just think if you're Widnes and you're signing Deck Pat and he's the headline signing they've made, I just think if you're bringing him in, I think you're bringing him in and giving him a starting shirt. And I think, yeah, it's unfortunate for Joe Lyons. It's nothing personal to him, but I think if you're bringing in Deck Pat in the first place, it's because you think he's a better option than Joe Lyons. Because otherwise, if you didn't think that, you would have just stuck with Joe Lyons and Gilmore. That's my position on it. I may be wrong. I think Patton's clearly a bit of a Marmite sort of player. I think he's had a bit of hard luck in his career. He's brought some of his hard luck on himself. But I think, you know, clearly there's an able player in there, and Alan Coleman's taken on the challenge of getting that out of him. And on his day, I think he will be a threat to most teams in the championship. I think my only slight concern, and I don't know whether it would be a thing, is there going to be a power struggle? Is there going to be a power struggle between him and Tom Gilmore with regards to who calls the shots? Because clearly Tom Gilmore was calling the shots last season. Joe Lyons very much the junior partner in that relationship. You've got Jack Owens in there as well, who's the captain. He's a playmaker. He's a quality rugby player. He likes to get involved, and it'll be interesting to see how that all comes together.
Yeah, I think in terms of playing style, I think he will suit playing with Tom. I think his long kicking game is better than the other two by far. His kicking game in general is, to be honest, probably better than the other two. But he also has a bit of a running game. And when he played with Jordy Gibson at Swinton earlier in the season, probably his best rugby for quite some time, Jordy Gibson is very similar to a Tom Gilmore type. And, you know, he really excelled from that. But it will be interesting, James, where that sixth jersey goes. We'll have to keep an eye on that one. But I do agree with you. You know, it's a high-profile name coming in. And look, I'm not sitting here saying that we'll get halfway through the season if all are fit and Deck Patton is the starting halfback with Tom Gilmore. That wouldn't surprise me whatsoever. I just have that feeling that Alan will give the jersey to Joe and show a bit of loyalty in that way. But we will see. We will see.
Yeah. So moving on, then we'll go to the front row, and perhaps some of these options are dependent. So you're thinking that loose forward is a straight shootout between Gregson and Hall?
Yeah, I think so. I think that, like, they're like kind of central pivots, aren't they? Like, I think Lewis Hall's very, very defensive based. He's very aggressive, quick to get off his line, big in defence. Whereas like Nick Gregson's probably got a little bit more ball skill. Whereas Lewis Hall's still got ball skill, but more defensive minded. I think it'll be between them two, whoever gets the slot. And I do personally believe we will still see Fozard coming on and Jordan Johnson dropping to loose forward. I think that's how we'll start things off. Obviously, injuries then dictate, don't they? But that's how I see things.
I think if Nick Gregson's listening, he's going to give Lewis Hall some stick after what you've just said about him there. So we then putting Martin Riley down as a prop, is I guess what I was getting towards. So Martin Riley, you're counting as one of your prop options alongside Bailey, Bennion, Mackenzie Buckley, Liam Bent, Liam Kirk, Dan Murray. For me, it still looks like Murray and Kirk would be your starting front rowers, but I think Liam Bent did well last season when he got a run in the team. I love Liam Bent, get on with him really well. I think Bent's probably a better starter than he is coming on off the bench, which might actually help him get his position. in the team. Whether they look at, is Bennion and Murray going to be the starting pair? I don't know, but there's plenty of options there. Do you feel like there needs to be any more, or do you feel like that run of, that seven is enough?
Yeah, there's seven there. I think I said at the start, ideally, personally, you know, I'd like another centre, out and out centre, senior centre, to come in and challenge. We might see that later on now because of what happened with Jake Mason. And we've said many a times, good centres don't just grow on trees, they don't just appear. The other area where I would like somebody is in that middle prop scenario, because you've got five senior props, and then you've got Brett and Mackenzie Buckley. Now, it is seven, but if they don't work or they're not ready, we've got five. And I know Lannan can drop there, X, Y, and Z, but I think just to have that extra middle with experience, especially when injuries come, props, because they're in the thick of it all the time. Before you know it, you've clicked your fingers and two or three of them are out. So I think you said in a podcast, going back a few months now, sign as many middles as you can. You can't have too many of them. I would like an extra senior middle, personally, if it was being picky.
To be honest, I would have liked us to sign Adam Sidlow. I know he signed for yeah, Swinton now. But I thought he might have been one that half had a look at. Obviously got a witness connection there, but it wasn't to be. I think the only saving grace, I think, from the prop situation, and with all due respect to props, prop is the easiest position, in my opinion, to recruit dual reg or loan players for. Yep. Because they run up and down, they tackle. That's pretty much all they have to do. You know, I'm not playing that down at all. But so
prop,
I think
society is going to be after
you. Yeah. But the bottom line is that it's all about their toughness and their work rate, and they don't have to worry too much about what the drills are, who's running on the outside, what the set plays are. They don't have to worry about that, because generally the prop's job is the same at probably every team, you know, maybe with a few exceptions. So I think that would be I suppose we'd say that we have been short on props in previous seasons, but I think with the seven that you've got there, I think even if you didn't add another one, you should be able to be adding a prop on loan or on dual reg. I know there was murmurs around whether we'd have a partnership with Lee again, or rather not again, but use that as a route to get players, as we saw at points last season. But yeah, not. I think I'm content with that situation. Hookers, we know about Matty Fozard, Jordan Johnston. Neither of them have been on Love Island, so we're shorter than York. What amazed me about York have obviously signed Paul McShane, formerly a witness, yeah, of course, and Jax O'Neill. I think what amazes me more about them signing them two players is they actually had three excellent hookers last season that got them to, what did they get to? The playoff semi-final. Yeah. And they've completely ripped it up and started afresh. I think that was a semi-surprise. But there'll be none of that at Widnes, not while Fozard and Johnston are there. Hopefully they'll be in and around Widnes for many years to come. So second rowers, by my count then, there's four. Danny Langtree, Ryan Lannan, Rodri Lloyd and Max Roberts. The Lannan thing, and my memory might be evading me here. When Lannan signed, he started playing in the back row, didn't he? But I'm sure Alan Coleman referenced to him wanting to play more in the middle, or have I got that the wrong way around?
No, spot on. That's one thing. Actually, James, as things have developed, it's ticked my mind where, because of how the squad's shaping up, you have to put him in that back row category. But you are bang on. Alan referred to his preference being having him in the middle. Now, obviously, that comes down to injuries, but it might be a case where that bracket of props where we say, you know,
seven is the eight. Well, we're saying
he could be the eighth, and we could bring the back rower in.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, Rodri Lloyd plays most of the games, barely misses any. I know Langtry had injuries last season. He's a little bit of a concern. But Max Roberts did well when he was called upon. I mean, Max Roberts, to be fair, we talked about centres before. It might be that Max Roberts has to drop in at centre a bit more. But yeah, now, like say, as you mentioned that, and I'm sure when they talk about Lannan as a middle, it was more of a, like a 13. But given that Gregson and Hall are there and Johnston's around as well, I just don't see how there's space. So maybe, yeah, maybe Lannan's going in as the eighth prop, and then there'll be a back row. I would really like to have had a look at Max Clark from Barrow. I think he's a very good player.
That was the lad who scored that cracking try against us, won it down the left.
Yeah, and he's, I mean, to be fair, he's only recently become available because Barrow had offered him a deal. Barrow had offered him a deal to stay, and then he'd been umming and ahhing about it, and by the time he got back to them, they'd basically withdrawn it, and they've signed Ellis Robson, I think, amongst other players. So he's not a player probably that would have been expected to be on the market. I think everyone probably just assumed he was going to be stopping at Barrow. He played for Wales in the recent internationals as well. So yeah, I don't know. I've not heard any murmurs about where he's heading, but for me, I know he was at Bradford previously. But yeah, I mean, if I was in charge of recruitment, I'd be having a sniff around him for sure. Because he could also play centre as well, which is an area we've identified.
I was just about to say that, to be fair, given the Jake Mason situation and what happens to players late on when things pop up all the time, that would almost be like kind of a perfect fit for him and us at the moment. Obviously, without knowing what the club have got in the pipeline, of course, but sat here right now, it would make the world of sense, and a player with age on his side who, Alan loves a player, doesn't he, who he thinks he can improve and get better, and he certainly feels like he fits that mould.
Yeah, and I have seen a few Super League fans actually talk about whether their club would sign him. So he's not I think he's 24 maybe. He's obviously forged his way into the international team. He's had a few clubs. He's played for Sheffield in the past. As I said, he was at Bradford as well. So he's had a few clubs, but yeah, maybe he's one that after impression at Barrow this season could be someone to keep an eye on. Right, so that's the loose forward we've covered already, Gregson and Hall. So that's the 26 covered. What's your best 13, mate?
Best 13, so I would say Jack Owens at fullback is going to be the captain. He's going to start there. Wingers, Ryan Ince, Mike Butt. I think they're going to have the hands full fending off Regan Sumner, but them two will start. I think at the moment, Joe Edge, Matt Fleming, no surprises there. Be really good to have Joe Edge back, actually. We had some problems there, didn't we, last season. I think got to a stage where we was having a different centre every game, so I think Joe coming back will be it'd be like a new signing for this year, to be fair. Halfbacks, oof. Oh, Tom Gilmore, I've got to put that pattern in there for his kicking game, like if it was me. I think Alan will start with Joe, but I will pick Deck for his kicking game to complement Tom Gilmore. I'd have Jordan Johnson starting hooker with Matty Fozard coming off the bench, usual roles. Prop forwards, I'd go Dan Murray, Liam Kirk. I thought their relationship on the field, how well they worked together, I don't think there was anything wrong with it, so I think stick with it. It worked really well. Back row, I would go with Rodri Lloyd to start and probably at the moment Ryan Lannan to start. And then Miller's forward would be Lewis Hall with a bench of obviously Fozard, Gavin Bennion, Martin Riley, and then the impact of Danny Langtry coming off the bench.
Right, bench. I'll have to write down my bench. Hang on, bear with me. I think, to be honest, my team, what I'm looking at, Owens at fullback, obviously, the Ince, Edge, Fleming and Butt would be the my three-quarter line. Patton and Gilmore, the halfbacks. I'd go Murray and Kirk as my starting props. I just can't not pick Fozard or Johnston, so I've picked Fozard at hooker and I've picked Johnston at loose forward. And then I'm going with Lannan and Rodri Lloyd as the back rowers, which effectively means that there's only Deck Patton who's new from, you know, what ended last season. Now, do I think that's what will be played? Probably not. I'm struggling with the Gregson and Hall thing, to be honest, because I feel like Riley or Lannan would be the 30. In my starting team, I would have Lannan or Riley as the 13 and then play someone else in the back row. Langtry if he was fit. I think that would be a really solid pack. So if I wasn't sitting on the fence, I would probably start with Johnston at hooker. I suppose you could play Riley at loose forward and then play Lannan as the second rower then, I suppose. I'm talking to myself now. And then on the bench, I would have Bennion, I think, would have to be there. I think Hall or Gregson would be good options on the bench. I think given the number of middles you're carrying, you could carry, and because you've got Fozard and Johnston in the start, it depends if Fozard and Johnston both start. Clearly, if Fozard and Johnston both start, you could maybe carry Brown on the bench. But yeah, for me, the message is that the new signings are going to have to try and play their way into the team, because I think other than, well, like I say, you could even make the case that Deck Patton would have to do that. But it's a good position to be in, certainly in comparison to previous years.
Certainly is. It certainly is. I think just touching on the two hookers, I feel like season before Alan got here, we really struggled, didn't we, getting the best out of Fozard and Johnson. And I think Alan has struck gold with it. You know, I think Johnson setting the stall out, and I think Fozard coming on after 20, 25 minutes when there's some tired bodies there, I think he really thrived in that role. And at that point, Johnson dropping back to loose forward gets a bit more of a free hit with his defence and obviously his distribution as well.
Yeah, and I like Fozard starting, and I know he listens to the odd podcast as well, and I know he probably prefers to start.
Yeah.
But certainly if you watch a game and Widnes is struggling for 10 or 15, the first 10 or 15 minutes, if Fozard's on the bench, that he's going to come on and change the game. Whereas if he starts the game and it's not going too well after 10 or 15 minutes, is there anybody else who could come on and make the impact that he does? I'm not too sure that there is. So yeah, we'll have to wait and see on that one. We'll have to wait and see whether there's clearly going to be a lot of moving around. And I think as long as everyone's aware, you don't want to do too much moving around, but I suppose it depends. I like Johnston dropping back to 13. He's obviously a good tackler. He gives you that creativity. He gives you the all rounder that you want at 13. Whereas O'Reilly and Lannan are very much more, they're ball carriers, aren't they, more so than anything else. But looking forward to it. The fixtures are out on the 26th. It is Tuesday the 26th of November. I believe they announced the first home game is at 8 a.m. I think I've got that right.
Yeah.
And then later on in the day, it's the full set of fixtures. I think the first Challenge Cup match will be known as well. I think Widnes enter in the second round this year. Before we let everybody go, though, let's have a brief chimwag about this IMG situation. So we IMG has joined Maurice Lindsay and Richard Lewis as hated administrations in Widnes, I think, based on how things have progressed. But anyway, there's been a proposal, I believe, led by the Bat League chairman, Kevin Nicholas, to put in what we've been talking about for months, Mike,
Maybe he listens to the podcast, James, maybe.
Yeah. So the proposal they're saying that if, and as I said on Twitter, I don't understand why this wasn't the case anyway. They are proposing that if the team who wins the championship is a grade B, and the team who, well, yeah, if the team who wins the championship is a grade B, they effectively replace the bottom ranked grade B Super League team. Which,
makes
to be fair,
sense, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, which is, to be fair, is exactly what happened this year, because Wakefield went up and replaced London. Now, the difference was that this year it had been decided off the field long before the season played. For me, that's surely the most sensible way of doing it, because it gives you hope. Like, Widnes could go into this season knowing that they could get promoted. Whereas the reality is, at the start of February, when the season starts, Widnes have got no chance whatsoever of getting promoted next season. No chance whatsoever. Whereas with that simple tweak to the interpretation or whatever, yeah, it might be unlikely, but there's at least a chance that it could happen. Now, I've seen some people say, calling it the Bradford Bulls rule or the London Broncos rule or whatever they want to call it. I've seen a few largely Salford fans moaning that, well, what if we finish fifth and all the teams below us are grade A and we get relegated? And I'm like, well, if that happens, it would be a miracle. And also, if that does happen, at least it's better than this situation where most clubs have got no hope.
Yeah, 100%. Look, it's part of the history of this country, isn't it? Promotion and relegation. We've had about 20 or 30 different variations over the years of rugby league in this country of how you do it, what it should look like, etc., etc. But the bottom line is you've got to have it somewhere. And this is, if we're going with this IMG structure and it's going to be around for a while, for me, this is the happy medium. Potentially, in Salford's case, extreme example there. Maybe there does need to be some thought around it. If a Super League club that's a grade B finishes above a certain place, then obviously they can't come down. That sticks to kind of on-field performances the other way round, top coming down. Potentially, they could look into something like that. But you've got to have it. I mean, I was lucky enough, and it was arguably probably one of the best games I've watched this season, was I went to Swinton to watch Huntslet and Swinton. Now, that was a million to one on to happen, but the Huntslet fans was ecstatic. They didn't leave the ground for half an hour. They were bouncing up and down on the dugouts and an heroic performance, and only something jeopardy and promotion and relegation can provide. And at the end of the day, forget all the spreadsheets, A, B, C, D's, E's. Why do we love sport? For jeopardy and for moments like that. And promotion and relegation is what brings it. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, Wakefield knew pretty much that they were going up no matter what last season, because the guy had put in a load of cash. They'd improved the stadium. They weren't too far off beforehand because, of course, they had the Super League legacy. 2025 will be a lot different because there's no standout club in the championship. I think you can make decent cases for Toulouse, for Bradford, for York, but there are no standout clubs. So we will be in a position, unless this rule change does get in, where the 2025 Championship Grand Final will be won by a team who do not know whether they're going to go up or not. And like you say, that just completely dampens the whole atmosphere or spirit of the game. When, let's say it's York as an argument's sake, let's say York beat Bradford in the Championship Grand Final, they aren't going to know if they're going up until 3-4 weeks after the game. And I think I'll always be an advocate for promotion and relegation. I do think it's difficult because of the full-time, part-time thing. I get that. But one of the arguments back in the day against promotion relegation was that clubs couldn't recruit because they didn't find out until really late whether they were going up or down. Well, the current system, they're finding out later than ever. And not only is the team getting promoted find out late, actually, the teams that are already in the league, they're finding out really late. Look at Casford. I know Casford ended up getting a grade A in the end, but their recruitment for next season hasn't been particularly great. And I think that's largely down to the fact that they, or and people on the outside, weren't sure whether they would be in Super League this year. So if you were a player who was getting offered deals by Castleford and, say, Hull FC, you would sign for Hull FC because you're thinking there might be a chance Castleford would be in the Championship.
Yeah, 100%. And look, it even more so in the sport that we're in, James, because of money. You know, it doesn't grow on trees, does it? And you've got to manage your accounts, manage your books. And as frustrated as Castleford fans in that example are, you can't blame them, can you? They can't recruit a star-studded Super League team and then drop into the Championship. It'd kill them. It'd kill them. And we've seen it happen many a times before. It's something that there needs to be something come up with that's a lot better. I mean, my personal view on it would be just strip it back to basics, get a set of minimum standards in, get the RFL working with clubs and go, look, if you want to be a Super League team, you've got these five or six buckets that you've got to have as a club. And if you have them and finish top of the Championship, you can come up. And the side who finishes at the bottom goes down. And if everybody's told, yes, you've met that criteria or you haven't by May or June, everybody kind of knows in the Championship what they're doing. And obviously Super League clubs can look at how the Championship's facing up and seeing who's got a realistic opportunity of coming up, and then saying if you don't meet the criteria, what you've got to do for the following year if you win the Championship to go up. I think that's all what it needs. I think these ABCs, 0.659 for this, 0.25 for that, is ridiculous. Yeah. It's so hard to understand.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind. The more I think about it, I don't mind the grade A thing. I don't mind if they're saying a grade A, and don't get me wrong, the barometer for grade A has got to go up. If they're saying that if you get a grade A, 15 points, whatever it is, you're guaranteed a Super League place, I have no problem with that part because I think that's what we're trying to encourage. And then the idea is that you're expanding the league. The big problem, in my opinion, that rugby league's had over the last 30 years is that Super League started in 1996. It had 12 teams. It's 2025 next season. It's still got 12 teams. So you can talk about expansion all you want, but all you're doing is, you put Catalan in. What did you do to get Catalan in? Well, you booted somebody else out. It happened to be Widnes at that time. But Catalan, as much as they're a success story or an expansion, they're in it. If they weren't in it, Bradford would be in it or Widnes would be in it. And I think that's being part of the issue that they've had. So I don't mind them saying, right, a grade A, anyone can aspire to a grade A. And if you do get to a grade A, you're in Super League, whether you get promoted or not. That's fine, as long as they always expand the division so that there is still that go-between. But I think the reality is, if you made it a 20-team league, you wouldn't need promotion relegation because there'd be no teams outside who'd want to get promoted into it anyway. But that's never going to happen. But yeah, we'll wait with bated breath to see what happens with that situation. I think bottom line is you've just got to try and put all that nonsense to the back of your mind and just go to the rugby and enjoy the games for what they are. We enjoyed last season reaching the playoffs. It would be good to do the same again. We'll be back in a couple of weeks for another podcast. We will pore over the fixtures. We might even have some pre-season announcements by then. Although I don't think there will be as many pre-season games this year because, of course, the Challenge Cup is starting a bit early. But it will be interesting to know how the season is going to shape up. Please do drop us a message on the Widnes Rugby League fans Facebook page and on Twitter as well. Me and Mike always pick them up, and we'll try and get some questions answered in the next one. But Mike, thanks as always for your time.
No worries.
And we'll see you next time.